We're on the top of page Kufman Chas Machshavos HaReichem. In this short parak, the Rebbe is explaining the mida of tamimus and the opposite of tamimus. Tamimus and akumius. We're talking last week about the tamimus of a child, the pashtus, the yashuas, and how each and every one of us should aspire to speak with an earnestkeit, with a sincerity and a pashtus, where the ikir is with the heart. Is what the heart feels, but this, it has to go through the seichel, that it should come out to be that the heart should express itself in a seichel bigger way, not the opposite way, that the ikur is seichel and that the seichel passes through the heart, but it has to come, the shorish should be with the heart. The seichel has to check, of course, everything. A person can't just blurt out what he's feeling or what he's thinking. It has to be weighed carefully by the seichel, but the ikur is that the origin of the words are from that place of tamimus and pashtus and yashus and the lev and so on. The Rebbe says that there are people in the world, many, many people, who their nature is naita, it's inclined to armimius, to crookedness and shrewdness and sophistication and cleverness and so on, in such a way where they're not able to say anything. The absolute pashtus and yashus. This, he says, however, this is where we're up to on the page of, on the top of Kuflin Ches. This is ma'atim ha'oid b'Yisrael. The Rebbe says there are very few like this in Klal Yisrael. Ma'atim ha'oid b'Yisrael. Ki teva isha Yisraeli yeshara teva av kedosha. Because the teva of a Jew is the teva of a Yid is yeshara and teva av kedosha is straight and good and holy. It's the teva of a Jew. Yerushim, even though there could be such a thing where there's a yid that his whole mahus, not got to be in his neshama, but his whole mahus in terms of who he is and how he lives is with this kind of armumius, crookedness and so on, shiftiness, and not the opposite of pashtus and tamimus. But Yerushim, yeshna manoshim shenira gam la'atzmam sh'armumius tavolahem mekomakom einzus b'tivim rak menachinach. There are people who feel that way about themselves, because they recognize this as a problem in themselves, but the truth is, it's not the tivam, it's not the teva of a Jew, it's not the nature of a Jew to be this way. It's not the teva of a Jew, it's rak menachinach. It could be that it's a certain kind of an education, vasviva shenizgad lubon in the reyam, the environment in which they grew up in, shen ikmoy samvers ruach libam hayasher, with the environment, the chinuch and the environment caused the natural straightness and yashus and pashtus of the Jewish heart to become crooked. The teva of a yid is that pashtus and that yashus. There are Jews that grew up, let's say, under communism. Somebody grew up under communism. I saw this many times, and people who are Isaac with people who grew up under communism know that it's common to find a certain armumius, a certain lack of basic yashua, straightness, that was a way of life under communism. In order to survive, if you wanted to be straightforward and honest, you'd have spent your entire life in Siberia someplace. You know, after one day, you'd be finished. The whole way to get by was not by being yashua and not by being tamim, but with an armimius, with a shrewdness and a cleverness and disguising intentions and changing words and not being sincere, learning how not to be sincere. So that's a very extreme example, how the environment of a person, the chinuch of a person, that the person received is one of akmumius, of crookedness. And in less extreme forms, it takes place all the time. The person, where he is, and the whole education that a child receives through television is an education of akmimius. I mean, the whole television is a make-believe world. Our ancestors never grew up spending thousands upon thousands of hours of watching other people act out things in an absurd way and creating lifestyles on television and movies that people would seek to mimic in their lives. Our ancestors never saw such things. They were who they were, and they would, everybody has this inyan. You know, you see somebody that you admire, and you try to, in certain ways, you try to maybe a little bit to impersonate more. A person is affected by his environment, but ad kedei kach that a person would be nowadays. The children are growing up with tens of thousands of hours of watching other people acting things out in a way that's completely not Jewish, and not even normal to logic. It's not normal, and then not to know exactly words that come out. Are these my words? Are these some guy from the television who's saying this? Who's acting this way? You see the way that people act. It's not at all consistent with anything that's the teva of a Jew, but the way to act out certain things that they pick up that they're watching from other people in other places that are very very distant from the kedusha of the Yid, from kedushas Yisrael. This is something that the damage of this in terms of taking away from the pashas and the ashras of a Jew is inestimable. It's impossible for us to know the damage, because it's an edler thing, although it's not always so edel. You could see the difference between children that were raised with television and children that were raised without television. You could see that. It's a very obvious thing, the difference, how they look and how they talk. It's a very obvious difference. And much of it is this akmimius, the whole inyan of the media and of film and television is the opposite of pashtus and yashus. It's to teach a certain kind of a mahalach, a certain way of getting by in society, that in order for you to get by, you have to drop the pashtus and the yashus. But this is something that the Rebbe never could have dreamt of, could have imagined. But before Mashiach comes, what we'd be contending with. So aside from all the other side benefits of television, such as Gilai Rai, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah, so aside from those other, the big three side benefits of television and the exposure to that world, aside from that, just on the natural, healthy yashrus and pashtus that a person has, that sincerity and tamimus that the Rebbe's been talking about, it's taken away at a very, very, it's certainly attacked at a very, very young age. The yashus and the pashas of saying how you feel, you can look at a kid and he's talking like somebody that you know that's not, you don't know who it is, but it's usually some sort of a combination of three or four of his favorite characters from television, but it's not him. Even a child, used to be, he spoke to a kid till a certain age, and when they get older and get to business, have this, but you would speak to somebody, you know that you're speaking to this person. Now you don't know who you're speaking to. You're speaking to somebody from this channel, from that time, from this program, from that movie. The way that the person, it's not just how a person dresses and how a person, it's in all the diburim and all the mashavas of a person, all kinds of strange things. People are trying to be something else. So that obviously has a tremendous effect upon the tamimus of a person. Aside from everything else, aside from the taivus, everything else that is affected by this, but the basic tamimus, the sincerity and the pashtus of who a person is. We don't even have our own ideas. Used to be a person would have certain ideas and he would talk to friends and different people. A person just expresses ideas, just says things that come from someplace else. It's not so. Even though by nature he's sincere, there is an ernstkeit, there is a sincerity by nature, but he doesn't know what he thinks anymore. What some mushkas on the television thinks, he doesn't even know. He's not sure what his opinions are. He's not sure how he feels about things. A person would grow up knowing that I have certain feelings about things. He doesn't know. So you can get some 14-year-old kid telling a 12-year-old girl, you know, I love you. Your eyes shine like the stars that come out at night. He doesn't know what he's saying. Stam, he's heard on some movie, and that's just a very mild example of what he's going to say. He doesn't feel that. He doesn't have a hasag of what that is. He's just mimicking. He's mimicking stuff that he saw. So he's even a kid. It's not pashtus and the ashes and the anskite. When a person used to say the words, when a person would say that he loved something in the past, to chament something. And now, when a person says that, it could mean just that was last night, you know, at 10 o'clock on Channel 7. And that's all it is. And the girl's so enthralled, boy, the guy loves me. She doesn't know that she's just like, you know, she's in a film. She never signed up for. She's just part of some film that she never signed up for. But that's okay, because usually she's also acting up and acting along. She's got her own movie that she saw last night. If those two movies were not the same, then they get the fights a lot. But if it was the same movie, then they could pretty much go along with the script. Mostly the problems that you have between the boys and the girls, because they sometimes watch different shows. That's mostly the problems. Because there's no thoughts of their own. It's just stuff that they saw on the television. So if they watch the same show, then they could be involved in all kinds of stuff and get along. But if they're watching different programs, like if this guy watches, you know, football, and she's watching she's watching, you know, ballet or something, it's a very, very bad relationship. But if they're both watched, you know, and that's an important thing that they should do when they start going out, is to try to coordinate their television watching and videos and so on, so this way they'll be able to get along. It's a rachmanis. I'm making chayzik, I'm making a joke, of course, but it's a big rachmanis. And we've all been affected by that. Who we are, what we are, anymore. So the nature of a Jew is the yashrus and the tamimus. It's the nature of a Jew. But you see that the chinuch, the education, even education, where even obviously in school, the teacher is trying to give over a certain viewpoint. How is it that, like, you know, whatever it is, I don't know, 95%. I'm not making up a number, but 95% of people in university. How is it that they have the same views? It's an interesting thing, no? You think so? You think there'd be like real diversity? After all, the college campus is where diversity is the highest ideal, not human life. Diversity is the highest ideal in the human campus. You'd think there'd be such a diversity of opinions. Yeah, my daughter is studying for the regions, and on the global regions in the review book, on the regions review book for the global regions, there's all kinds of stuff about global warming. And the global is not about, it's not biology or earth science. There's all kinds of all that baloney that comes from the left wing, from the campuses, all the way up to the failure of a vice president. That's already completely taken over the textbooks and the regions. All that havel havolim. That's the real hot air. I don't know what the global warming is, but the biggest hot air that comes from the mouths of these phony liberals that spend $1 million a year in their house giving off electric currents and waves because of their mansions that they have, all the zhlubs that they preach to, you know, sitting and sweltering someplace in some ghetto. So all of this sheker. So the campus, you think that the college is going to be in Skvaldig, everybody there could speak their minds. So you think that people would have different minds in the college. You think that there'd be such a diversity of thought. Yeah, there are. There's on each campus, you know, there's like 15,000 people that are saying all different things that they picked up from the global warming. And there's like one person that has a fan club for, you know, President Bush or something, you know. And that's how it is. So all the skarm, the kazovim. So it's the place of truth, like it says, Megmar will be itself the biggest place of shaker. But there's no yash, there's no tmimus. So the chinuch, people are picking up, young people are very, very impressionable. And they're picking up all kinds of ideas and thoughts that are outside of themselves, like Rav Kook speaks about, even when it comes to Torah, how careful you have to be. So that's a different inyan. Because Torah is all kaidish, it's just to try to understand what this child, where he's holding and who he is, and to what Torah would lift him up at that time. What Torah, not everything in Torah is something that he's ready for, that he's able to hear, and that will help him at that time in life. That's also the chinuch of a person can take him very far away from his natural instincts, from his natural feelings, and his tamimus. But especially when people are taught, when people are taught by the environment not to say what they feel, to be crooked and so on. But the nature of a Jew is to be straight. But that's what he's saying. Shem ikmu oisam v'shuruch libam hayosher. There are outside influences that obviously have a tremendous, tremendous effect upon a person, and it can take the ruach libam hayasha, the straight ruach of a person's heart, and completely distort it. V'lahem lo yiksha kol karach loshu v'liyasha v'satzim. Therefore, for Yid, whose nature is to be straight, and nature is to be tamim, therefore, for Yid, it's not so hard, it's not so difficult to straighten himself out. It's not so hard to return to that state of tamimus. Although you see that it's getting harder and harder. It's getting harder and harder because there's so many influences upon a person. So by most Jews, by most ne'ukalim, by most Jews who are fakrumt, who are crooked in this way, the sibas adavar, the cause is from a weakness of spirit. You're going to get me dizzy over here. From a weakness of spirit, rifyon ruach. What's the rifyon ruach? Ruach rafa. There are people of a ruach rafa. A ruach rafa we spoke about a lot in Chavos HaTalmidim. A weakness of spirit means that they don't have a strength of character and a confidence in what they think and who they are. So any wind that comes along can sway them. One day they're screaming that this is the truth, and they're standing up, outside of shul and they're arguing for a certain point. Again, that could be a point that they just saw somewhere from somebody else. And the next day you could hear them like screaming and arguing for the opposite point. So rifyon ruach, there's a weakness. Bechlal, anything that comes along just drags this person off into the current of, into that stream of thinking and feeling. Ruach rafa, b'shvil zeh dchifaso el ha'emes refuya. V'nemachrach zeh, so therefore, the dchifa to truth, his convictions when it comes to truth, are very weak convictions. They're very weak convictions. So he can come out from the yeshiva. He spent whatever it is, a year in Eretz Yisrael, and he comes back with all kinds of good thoughts and all kinds of deis, all kinds of things that he feels that he's integrated entirely into his personality. And he comes back and the next day he's back on Mars with all of his Nairishkeit. After all the shmuz and after all the sichas and after all the tefillas, and the trips to the Kaisel, and they went to Meron, and he toiled in Svas by the Ariya Kaddish, everything. He comes back and he had the truth. He figured he was kind of the Emes. I know the Emes, and the rest of my life I'm going to live according to this truth that I just heard in Yerushalayim. I'm going to live according to this truth. And Nechta Gittag, 15 minutes, he's not even off the airplane, he's already back, he's already watching the program back on the plane, he's already back into it. He didn't even land yet in Kennedy Airport, and he's already with all the Havalim. He's a Ruach Rafa, he's a weak-spirited person, so when he came to Yerushalayim, they also got him after 2 or 3 shmuz, and he didn't put up much of a fight. So he was the first guy in yeshiva, that's Zman. He could have been the first guy with his tzitzis out and with a serious look in his eyes. Could have been the first guy like that. But he's also the first guy that's back with the Irish camp when he gets to New York. He's found a Ruach Rafa. So there wasn't much resistance when he came to Yerushalayim. When he came to Kedusha, he gave in right away. He gave in right away to Kedusha. Sure. The Rebbe said, you have to be this way. She goes, sure. 100%. He bought it right away, the whole thing. Became right away a big tzaddik, and then when he goes back to New York, he became right away a big Rasha. It's a gestama ruach rafa. Doesn't mean that there's a pnimius, that he was kind of the Amos. Remember, there's a yid over here, a Russian Jew, and when they years and years ago, when the shul was just starting, so the wife had become very firm, and the wife and he let the wife bring up the children also firm, everything, and he would walk with them to the block before the shul on Shabbos to walk with them, because he's a great guy to be with the family, but he would never come at the shul. Shum Eifen, he wouldn't step in the shul. This was going on for a long time. He wouldn't step in the shul. So I went out. I saw from the window, and I ran out once or twice. I went. This is when we were in the house, and I went over to him. And I said, "Come on, why don't you come in a little bit? You already walked your wife and the children. Come in. You don't have to daven a little bit for Shema Yisrael." And he said to me in a nice way, but very firm, "I'm not ready." Just like that, "I'm not ready." Okay, I'll say that. And this went on for a while, and one morning at the sixth, in those days, I think it was the 6:30 minion. So I see him sitting there, and with someone that was helping him. He put on film. He didn't put on film before. He's sitting with towels and film. So I went over to him afterwards, and I said, "So it's so good to see you. What are you doing here?" So he said, "I'm ready." I'll tell you the chiluk. He hasn't missed a minion since then. This is years ago. Since we were in this is a maisa from a long time. Doesn't miss a minion. Mikveh, minion, Shabbos. Doesn't miss a seder and learning when he has a chavrusa. Not like us, gewaldige Americans with all our personality and freedom. Huh? I'm ready. I'm shineni. That's what I felt. I didn't know what it meant when he said that, but that was it. Whatever it is that he went through, or whatever it is that he had to work on, he named it. Thus is thus. Finished. Where were you? I don't know. Maybe tomorrow. Yesterday I felt good. Today I don't feel good. I'm not happy today. Yesterday I was happy. This guy, I'm ready. He named me. That's it. It's a person of conviction. Strong. And then you can't bend them to anything in the world now. The ernst guy. Because everything he said was ernst. That's the way he is. Everything's with an ernst guy. With a sincerity. Everything's real. Everything's coming from pneumias. And when he said he wasn't ready, I saw that. I couldn't mess with him. With an American you can mess with. You know that. When he says if an American says I'm not ready, come on! You give him a kugel, a chomp, he's ready. Doesn't mean anything. Go on this. Doesn't mean anything. And if there's a pretty girl that sits behind the mechitz and he can hop a look once in a while, he'll also come. It's nothing. It's not so hard. With Americans? Nah. But when you get a European, or a lot of the Israelis, no. That's it. But it's with Anskite, and I respect that. It's with Anskite. But Americans.
Rabbi, in your experience, most people have this Ruach Rasha. That's not a miracle.
Yeah, not crooked. But the Rabbi's saying it's not crooked. Most of them are not like that with the crookedness. But they're weak, weak. Yeah, soft.
Most people.
Soft. I don't know, most. We see this. You can answer that question as well as I can, depending upon what you see, what I see. There's a Rifyon Ruach. Therefore, even his commitment to truth is weak. It's weak. That's what I'm talking about. This new yeshiva bacha straight off the plane, smiling with his tzitzis out. So I tell the parents that Shlomo is here. We're having a convention over here. All the guys are coming. All the guys are here. Shlomo. Baruch Hashem. I tell the parents that the boy was a year in Eretz Yisrael, and he comes back and he's very shtak. I say, he's not shtak, nothing. Give him a couple of days, you'll see. He's not shtak. 2 years, maybe 2 years, it caught on a little bit. 2 years, caught on a little bit. The emphasis is, it's your whole life trying to be kind of that tmimus, that anskai. But it's not vayda. It's not vital. It's not natural to us, because we're naturally, I know it's strange, but we're naturally actors, because we grew up, as I was saying at the beginning, we grew up from the beginning we've been watching actors and we've acted, and children at some point learn that they have to act in order to survive, to make their parents happy, to make the teachers happy. Children become actors and actresses. They become that. They're not naturally that. Children are naturally the most genuine, authentic and sincere products on earth. Kids are the most authentic, like we learned last week. But they learn that in order to make mommy proud and daddy proud, to do this and to do that, my teachers and I have to, so they learn to act. And then once it starts with the television and other things, then it becomes altogether profound. Who are they? What are they? And on top of that, there's a rifyon ruach. There's a weakness of spirit. It's the American Constitution. There's a weakness. There's a weakness. It's those who know Jews, European Jews, or Jews from the old country. Even in many ways, as a Celtic, even there's a kashyas ayrif. But the Alter Rebbe says in the pasuk, we know the kashyas ayrif to be stiff necked is not such a nice midah. And Klal Yisrael were criticized for that. But the Tanya has in Likutei Torah a whole long, beautiful piece explaining ki am ksheirav uvisalach la'avoneinu, because we're stiff necked. Because we're stiff-necked, have Sarachamanas on us. Stiff-necked means we're people of conviction. When we're committed to something, even if it's bad, we have convictions. We're people of convictions. We're not people who are easily manipulated, or easily influenced. We're strong people. Am k'shei ayrefu. So when a person, when a yid gets into something, it could be very, very good. It could be chas v'shalom, very, very bad. Because the teva of a yid is to be strong natured, is to be kshei ayrev. The Rebbe is describing is that there are those individuals, and now it's more and more and more, where there's a rifyon ruach. There's the opposite of that, not a kshei ayrev, a rifyon ruach. And especially since all of society admires that, It admires a person who agrees with everybody, is an agreeable type, and is not strong and not opinionated and so on. Society admires that. And I'm okay and you're okay, everybody's gewaldic. And sometimes this guy says one thing and he says, that's so interesting, that's so nice. Another person says another thing and you have to say, that's so interesting, that's so nice. Even how you teach nowadays, you have to teach that way. If you're a Rebbe, if you're a teacher now, and you say the truth to the kids, forget it. You know, I told you last week that I grew up, and that when I was growing up, if you said something that wasn't a good svar, the Rebbe would look at you in the eyes, and he would say, you know, you're a shaita. Now that, if you don't have much confidence in yourself, and you're a tzibroch and a mensch, that could be very hurtful. I don't remember ever taking it personally. It was just, he was saying that what you said is wrong. But you wouldn't say that now. If you're Rebbe in the class, you'd say, very interesting. That's what they tell you in the education courses. Very interesting. I hear what you're saying. I think it's very good. Did everybody hear that? Very good. Very good. We're going to come back to that later. And when he comes home and tells his wife, you wouldn't believe this guy said the dumbest thing in my life I ever heard. The guy said in class. But he wouldn't say that in class because they'll throw you out. You can't do it anymore. But the Rebbe that I had said, I told you, the Rebbe Yosef Rav Soloveitchik didn't even answer you. He would just look at you when you were finished talking. He would continue what he was saying. He didn't even respond. I remember somebody, it was the first day in the shiur, the guy spoke for 15 minutes, and the whole time Rabbi Yosef was like this, looking at him. And then when the guy finished, he says, I hold like this, and I think like that, and the rounds like this, and the rounds like that. And the guy was making his whole case. And the Rav looked at him. And then when the guy was finished, he just continued. He didn't say a word, didn't nod, it was nothing. He just continued. It didn't warrant a response, and the Rav was not going to say, oh, I'm so proud of you. That was such a good idea. It didn't warrant that. There was an atmosphere of ernstkeit, of sincerity. And the sincerity sometimes hurts. But I'm not saying that we can do that, or we can act that way nowadays. But we were raised, people were raised, Yidden were raised in an atmosphere of tmimus, in an atmosphere of ernstkeit, not in an atmosphere of Broadway and Hollywood, you understand? But the whole mahus of Broadway and Hollywood is not to say what you feel, not to say what you think, and to make everybody to feel good, and to feel nice. And I was talking yesterday at the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne Shiur. I was talking to the Chevre because one of the Chevre asked me about he asked me. He says someone mentioned to him that they heard that he's with his children. This fellow asked me, who was a very wonderful Chashev Yid, that he always, this guy always calls his son like Tzadik. Come here, Tzadik, 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 Tzadik. Everybody's Tzadik. Everybody, every second he's called Tzadik. So someone told him that he thought that wasn't such a good idea. So he asked me what I thought, and I was talking about it a little bit yesterday. It's also part of it. It used to be that I mentioned yesterday that by my father, when you said the word Tzadik, he thought you were talking about the Klausenberger Rebbe. You understand? He didn't think you're talking about some kid that did his parents the biggest taiva because he went to bed within an hour of his sleeping time. So then it's Tzadik. And then all over the house you have to put up signs. Tzadik Yisrael Olam. Tzadik is, and then you give him a t-shirt, Tzadik. And you call him Tzadik. It's such a cheapening of what a Tzadik is. So we do that too. So once in a while, once in a while you can say, or you tell a person, especially if a person's at Tzabrach in the Yid, if you see that he's from far away on the other side, so you have to light him up. You have to say the word Tzadik to him. But that's not it's not a mahalach with a child. Every single second Tzadik. A Tzadik has to be something to aspire to reach for. Not that it became like that. That it doesn't mean anything. There are different people and different times and how and when. But I'm just talking about with little children. Because I will often do that myself. There's a person that I meet that I'm introduced, and you see in his eyes that he's downtrodden. So you try to give him a boost, because every year there's Amech Kulam Tzadikim. It's true. It's not a lie. But if a child can mistake that for Amech Kulam Tzadikim, like you see the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chusik Yonah used to write on the letter, even to Parshat Yid, he used to write a Chosid, a Tamma, and Vosik. He used to write all kinds of beautiful titles. And he explains once in a Fabrengen that he's trying to encourage you to become the person that he believes you could be. But that's good. And if that's what the kid hears when you call him a Tzaddik, then that's a good thing. But if the kid hears that you touched him up as a Tzaddik, because of little things, whatever, that's how you touched him up, that he is a Tzaddik. So you understand that it's not, there was never such a thing. You could be sure that in the house of the Chofetz Chaim and in the house of the Chassam Sofer, they weren't going around calling a kid every minute Tzadik, Tzadik, Tzadik. I never heard once ever my father call me a Tzadik. Never. I heard him call me a Golem. But when there was something that I did that he approved of, I knew it very, very, very strongly. He would look at me a certain way, and I saw pride in his eyes, and I still do. But it wasn't using the Lashon of Tzadik. Tzadik was the Klausenberg, Tzadik was the Satmarov, Tzadik was the Moshe Feinstein. That was a Tzadik. And my son, he's like the rest of us. He's a good boy trying to be a better boy. And when he does something good, my father would let me know, but not by saying Tzadik. I would look in his eyes, and I would see a certain nod, Zahu. And I was thrilled with it. Thrilled with my father's approval. And I felt good about it. But now you say the word Tzadik, 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 Tzadik. The kid couldn't kill us, you call him a Tzadik. Doesn't make him feel anything, because he feels that it's cheap anyway coming from his father. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. So we're living in such a time. It's also, parents are also part of the Broadway and Hollywood. So, putting up all kinds of signs all over, in the refrigerator and giving stars and grades. I can't say that. What are we going to do? We're in this battle. So we have to do these things, but is it the mahalach of Klai Yisrael, the teva of Klai Yisrael, to have to lower ourselves into such narishkeit? The answer is no. It's not the teva of Klai Yisrael to have to play these games. That for teachers to be entertainers, and for parents to be on Broadway. It's not the teva of Klai Yisrael. We have to say what you feel, with hamtaka, with a sweetening. My father was never afraid to tell me what he thought. But he didn't. He said everything in a way that was measured, that was gentle. But he said the truth. It was the truth. But to grow up without an anskai, without a tmimus. So the Rebbe's saying over here that not, the teva of a Jew is not to be crooked and not to be dishonest, but more and more what we see is a rifyon ruach, which we spoke about in Chavis HaTaminim. A weak-spirited person. That's why we're careful, because if you tell the kid, if you look at the kid the wrong way, you know, he's going to go off. I told you that I had a friend of mine that he runs Shabbatons with an organization, and there was a kid that was smoking marijuana. They told him 100 times before the Shabbaton that if you get caught smoking, drinking, or you get caught with pot, and if you get caught messing around with a girl, we're sending you back on the first bus. And they were out, like, you know, in Pennsylvania somewhere. So of course, like an hour into the Shabbaton, they find this, my friend finds this guy like in the bushes with a girl with pot, you know what I'm saying? Like the whole thing. So he grabs him, he says, what are you doing? We had like this whole orientation and the whole, you know, all this schmoozing, and we wanted to have a nice climb, and we just told it. So I told him what the guy answered my friend. The guy, he said, you know, if you, because my friend said, you're going on the bus, you're going back home. So the kid said, if you do that, you're going to put me at risk. I might not be from if you do that. You know, it's going to be on your head. If I turn out to be Michal Shabbos, because you sent me back on the bus and you hurt my self-esteem, if you put me on the bus, it'll be on your head if I'm a Michal Shabbos. And this friend of mine is a geschmacka guy, you know, and he said, get out of here, on my head. Don't give that story to your parents and to your rabbi. He put him on the bus. But he told me such a vart that the kid said that to him. You're going to put me at risk. Not like that the ears should get red and I was caught and I'm so embarrassed and I'm so sorry and I'm such an oisvarf and help me to do tshuva. What? Yeah. If you put me on that bus, you should know, if you put me on that bus, it's on your head if I'm Michal Shabbos the rest of my life. That's what it is. And if it would be another person, so he might have said, oh, okay, I apologize for catching you. I'm so sorry. Please continue. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I hope I didn't offend you. Everybody okay? But this is what we're living in. A rifin ruach. No backbone. Be honest. So therefore, you understand, what the Rebbe is saying here, this is a painful sentence. Ruach rafu b'shvil zed chifasa ala emes refuya. That's what I was saying before. Even the chifa to emes is refuya. That's why, with the mindset with the Jew from Russia, that wasn't ready, but when he was ready. And now the kids go to Eretz Yisrael, they come out from yeshiva and they say, we're ready. And they're not ready. They're not ready. Because of a weakness of character, a weakness of spirit. So it could be a day off the plane, and they're ready for foul. Because all the shmuz and all the tires that they heard in Eretz Yisrael, they believe in it. They're good kids, and they want this, and they like it, and they love it. And it's good, and they hear the sikhs and the shmuz, and they went to the kaisel, and they went to all the good places, and they come back, and it's gewaldig. And they're sincere. They're not faking. They're sincere. It's not hypocritical. They really do like it. So what happens to them? How come that? The first breeze that comes along, you know, in a skirt and a little makeup, the first breeze that comes along, it's for foul. How did that happen? The Torah says, they believe in it, but it's a rifyon ruach. There's a weak-spirited person, a rifyon ruach. So even the dchif el ha'emes, even the push, the drive that you have for truth, is not like, you know, it's not 75 miles an hour in a good car. It's like, you know, it's like tup. The whole tchifa el ha'emes is like not a, it's like, you know, used to have a car, a Studebaker, you know, like it's a shvacha. We had a car grover, you know, a lot of those of you who are familiar with the Jews from the other side of the ocean, from the old country, when they think that when my father would go shopping for shoes, he would take me, we'd go to a shoe store, only one shoe store in Brooklyn, that's the only shoe store we ever went to, and he'd try on the shoe and he would say, give me 3 pairs. same thing for me. He'd try on a pair of shoes and I wanted to be like, you know, try different things. My father said, give him 3 pairs. And that was it, like for the next 7 years I had. Same thing with sneakers, I was the last guy that was wearing Keds, you know what I'm saying? Regular Keds, I was the last guy. Because my father bought me like 5 of them. He said, he would look at me and say, are those good? I say, yeah, it's good. So he said, give him five. Really, I'm not there. This is the truth. Give him five. Because, you know, the mentality was, you never know if there's going to be a war or something. And if they're good, then what do we have to handle with this store again? We'll just take care of it right now. Same thing when it came to cars. My father had an Indian. There was a car that was called a Rambler. Now, I don't know if it exists, but Amulas Gevein, there was a car like this. It's the same thing. My father bought them until they went out of business. even though we couldn't figure it out, because it was the ugliest, worst car. But when he had the first time that my father had money to buy a car, that was like what his brother said, a Rambler. A Rambler. And there were a couple of the guys in Shul that said, oh, a Rambler. So my father bought a Rambler. And then that, he can't buy two of those, three. But that was it, a Rambler. So that, you know, he'd say, Daddy, can't you get, like, you know, the nice cars? No cars. My father said, a Rambler. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing to do about it. There's nothing to do about it. So that could be like a thing that's crazy, right? That could be, not the chas v'shalom, but that could be a way of life that's... But there's a certain kashyus ruach that only if you know this type of a yid, you know what I'm talking about. There's a kashyus ruach, and you can go and try to explain from Haim Bizen Morgan that there's different, there's better. He doesn't care. And it's the same thing about even if you tell them about their kids. If you tell them that your kid is rotten, he's not going to hear it either. There's a certain kashyus ruach, a strength. That is that you can't imitate that. It is or it isn't. And the Rebbe is saying here, the tchifa al ha'emes is refuya, is weak. Ve'ena mechrachas, I say, lema davke fi ha'emes yedeya. So the fact that you know a certain truth, but the Rebbe says at the end, the sentence, the fact that you know a certain truth, in your head you know this is true, but you're such a weak person that doesn't even mean that you're going to say what you think is true. So you can be sitting with a couple of guys, and they're all saying the politically correct thing, and you'll sit there and you'll find yourself chiming in. You'll chime in. You'll join in, especially if the guy that's the big talker in the group, especially with kids. But the guy that's the big talker is like the leader of that, you know, of that group. He's like the big macher over there. If he's the big macher, even though inside your head you're thinking what this guy is saying is not true, but you find yourself being swept along with it, and you can't disagree. That's why you'll see kids in a group. I mentioned this many times. You'll see kids in a group, and you know that they're acting up and making noise and doing certain things. And even, I'm not saying this is not only by Yidden, this is lahavdil by goyim also. You'll see. And you know that in that group there's a couple that are not like that. They don't want to be that way. You see them, they're more idle. They're not. You could see that they're more idle. But they'll go along with it and also, you know, horse around and carry on, even though they wouldn't do that if in the house or if another person was more like them. But you get swept up. So that even he says, even though you know something is true, you don't say it. If other people are saying things that are different, you don't stand up and say the truth. Somebody the other day was showing me, had a video clip of Ramea Kahana, Shem Yim Kandomer, of Ramea Kahana, he was speaking. And I remember many times in yeshiva and then in college. I remember those who are old enough to remember Ramea Kahana. You agree with him and not agree with him, because there are things you could disagree with. But he was an Ish Emes. He was an Ish Emes. I mean, you could disagree. And my father held so stark from him. Even though there were one or two nekudas that my father disagreed with. When my father said, here's a yid that says what he thinks. And I saw this film clip. He was speaking in Brandeis University. You know Brandeis? It's a special institution for soft-backboned, weak-bellied Jews. And it's a special, nice, very sweet Jews with who are exactly what the Rebbe's talking about. And Ramea Kahana is there, and there's an audience that looks like around 700, 800 people. And everybody there disagrees with him. The whole island is disagreeing with him. And he, you know how he takes them apart. But he doesn't budge from the emes. There wasn't a tear from the emes. And I'm wondering how many of that chevra are able now, 20 years later, to admit, right? But shum oifen, he wouldn't be. You could tell him any statistic, any svara, because he had it, and he was a person of conviction, and he was ready to suffer for his convictions. It's not idealism and to be ready to suffer for the convictions. But a person that might know something, he doesn't say it. He doesn't say it. Kleimer Chazal Omru weiter. Kufnum Ches in the middle. Kleimer Chazal Omru Nikorin Divrei Emes. Chazal say an interesting thing in the Gemara. Nikorin Divrei Emes. When something is sincere, when something is spoken sincerely, and it's Divrei Emes, Nikorin Divrei Emes. Divrei Emes, you could recognize Nikorin Divrei Emes. You could recognize Divrei Emes. So even though the famous Ma'aseh, he says over the Chabad Chaim, said true Ma'aseh, the Chabad Chaim, when there was a Gzeira in Russia, Poland, with the Jews, and the Chabad Chaim went and he was crying and talking for whatever, half hour in Yiddish, and there was a translator that was going to translate it into Polish, and the Chabad Chaim is in Russian, whatever, and the Chabad Chaim said this whole thing in Yiddish, and at the end, the guy, whoever it is, the guy in charge there from the government said, forget it, you don't have to translate it. It's okay. In other words, you don't have to translate what the rabbi said. Because Nikarin Divrei Emes, the guy said, I recognize in this person that what he's saying is what it is, and the whole thing is canceled, and he tore up the whole paper. It's a true story. Chabad Chaim didn't have to use diplomacy. The guy didn't even, and to his credit, the guy didn't even understand what the Chabad Chaim was saying. But when he looked at the Chabad Chaim, he saw the Chabad Chaim was speaking Nikarin Divrei Emes. Even though he didn't understand the Advar Emes, but Nikarin Divrei Emes. Nowadays, even when you show somebody a picture, the picture's not even true. The picture's not even true. At the chasana, you don't have to have the chasana kala because it's okay, we put the chasana kala's picture in from another picture into this picture. So you leave a space. You know what I'm talking about. You're taking a family picture, and the chasana kala can't be together, they're not going to be together before the chuppah, right? So you leave a space, the photographer says, leave a space over. And everybody just look over there to the empty space and smile. So everybody looks at the empty space. Everybody's like this. And then afterwards the photographer takes a picture of the Chasna Kala, and he puts it into that space, and then everybody's smiling at the Chasna Kala. It's not time for Mashiach, everybody say. It's time for Mashiach. I said, so of course, right away I start to think about this, and I say to the photographer, why can't I just use the pictures from our last chasna we made for our last daughter? I can do all of that and just take the chasna kala, the height to get the new chasna kala, and just take pictures of them. I can stay at home until 6 o'clock. I have to come here at 4 o'clock for this Irish kite, isn't it? I could have come at 6 o'clock. We already made two chasnas, Baruch Hashem. So I could have taken everything from the last chasna, and my aunt and uncle, and all the chaverim, and everybody's dancing, everything's the same. Just take the chasna kala, take a lot of poses of chasna kala, dance, and the chasna kala, and then just plop them in over there, and everything will be good. We don't have to spend all this money and waste all this time. If the pictures don't tell the truth. It goes on here. I don't know how it works in court nowadays. I don't think if you show a picture, maybe they could tell, experts could tell if it was doctored up, I guess. Otherwise, what does it mean? Everything is changed and everything is edited and everything is anathema's gornish. The current of Emes. Chazal said, the current of Emes, when a person is Emesthic, the current of Emes. So the Rebbe says, Uvameh v'lom nikaron. How and why is that? Uvameh v'lom nikaron. In what way and why is it then that Divrei Emes, that something which is sincere and true, is recognized? Nikarin Divrei Emes. Why is that? He says, Avo Yidu L'Kol Echav. He says, everybody knows. Avo Yidu L'Kol Echad Shaham Shaker. Im Eino Shakran V'Noichel Murgal Habi B'Shkarim. Everybody knows that if the guy that's lying to you, if he's not a person that's a shakran means a person whose whole life is a shaker. There's a difference between a person who's mishaker, that, you know, he's saying something that's dishonest, or he's lying. He there was some pressure, whatever, it was an Indian, he had a taiv and he said a shaker. Okay, that's a chaval, but that's everybody's nichshol in these things. But then you have a person who's not that he's meshak. He's a shakun de'etzim. He's a shakun. He's a liar. He's a liar. So the person who's a meshaker, not a shakran. He's a meshaker. He's lying now about something. So im einu shakun v'neichel murgel harib b'shkarim. If he's not a person whose whole life is filled with lies, he's not a shakran. That's him. He's just right now. He's trying. He's got to get away with something. He's, you know, trying to get away with a shaker. As any yochel leimers a shaker befer v'leiv mole. He can't say the shaker. If he's b'etzim, an emethic a person, and he's saying a lie now, so then he's not able to say the shaker befer v'leiv mole. He's not able to say the shaker wholeheartedly, befer v'leiv mole. Little children, when they say. Little ones, when they say, when they start, when they're just starting to learn how to say shkarim, you start laughing right away because it's so, you know, obvious, because they didn't pick up yet on all of our skills, you know. So it's so obvious at the beginning. Then they start to get better at it. They start to say things, you know, and you know, then you can forget the truth altogether. But a person who's not a shakran, he can't get up like former President Clinton can get up in front of the whole world and look at the world in the eyes and say the biggest shkarm in the world, right? All these politicians can do that. You ever hear this guy? I had the distinct displeasure of on three or four occasions having to be in a place because I was a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and he would come, he would make the rounds graduation time. You ever watch this guy? And again, I don't care who votes for this or that. I'm not even talking about his policies. You ever see this guy Schumer, you know, the House Senator here in New York, Schumer? You ever look at this guy? You ever hear him talk? He's a Welts Shakran. Everything that comes out from his mouth is Sheker. A Welts Shakran. And he would come to the graduation of the yeshivas in Queens. He would come. He'd go to all the yeshivas and running from one place to the other, and he'd get up there and say, you know, something, shalom. My grandfather was an Alexander Chassid. You know, he says, shalom and peace for Israel. You know, like the graduates sitting there, whatever. And the principal of the yeshiva, right, well, all the years where I taught, is an ish emes mamish. And he would have to shake the hand of and so I was sitting next to the principal, and he would shake the hand of the senator. He wasn't a senator then; he was a congressman. That is a senator. He doesn't go to the graduations, but a congressman. So the principal of my yeshiva would shake his hand. Oh, he said, "Oh, hello, Congressman Schumer." And he's mutter the principal mutter under his breath in Yiddish, "The Eisvav Dim and Novel Dim." Yes, it's so nice to have you here. And then when he would turn to walk away, the rabbi would go like this, like, "This guy, get him out of here." You know, the politicians, the Limdul Lashon and Leimah Sheker, the whole tevel is a shaker. But a person who's an honest person can't look at you. Now these guys can look at you right in the eyes, and they could like so sincere, and they loosen their tie and they open their shirt button and they sit down, they tell you something, and you think, like, you know, wow, I mean, it's such a shaker. Most people are not like that. So the person bets him is an honest person, and when he says something that's not true, he can't look at you in the eyes like that. He can't look at you in the eyes. When I was a kid, there was a song, "You Can't Hide Those Lying Eyes." There was a song like that. Yeah. So you can't say it, but fevelev moly, nikar divemes. Because divay sheker are not said wholeheartedly. By a person who's basically a good guy, an empathetic person, he can't say divay sheker with the same gishmak and with the same happiness and the same confidence that he says divrei emes. He says sometimes a sheker, but he doesn't say it, you know, with the lashon yichud. You understand? He doesn't say it with the lashon yichud. He says a sheker. Like I said, that I said many times, that advar from the Beditshev. The Beditshev said it's true that yidn do averus, but you never see yidn making a siyum or a sudas Aveira. You know, a Jew never makes a Suda for our Aveiras. Go and do that. They make banquets for Aveiras. This is about Jews. A Jew will never make a Suda. He'll do something that's wrong. he'll say a shekel, he'll do an aveira, but he'll never make a suda for the aveira. He'll make a suda for a mitzvah, for a bar mitzvah, a mesina, a mesechta. But he'll never make a suda for an aveira. They'll never have like a party to celebrate the aveira. Even the Jews who are furthest away from Yiddishkeit, they want to make a bar mitzvah. Even though you could ask him, what kind of mitzvah? What do you have mitzvahs? What's a mitzvah? What does it mean a mitzvah? Everybody knows it's something good. So he wants to make a celebration. He wants to make a party for a mitzvah. He doesn't make a party for an aveir. So Baditra said, Alim Eschus on Yidin. They don't make parties for aveirs. They don't make parties for mitzvahs, right? The Tevelev Molei, the Rebbe says he has no choice. When the guy that's basically a good guy, when he's saying something that's not true, then balkarcha, he's forced to turn his eyes away. He has to lower his eyes. He can't look at you in the eyes and say shekulamat. I see the mibli lahabid yoshan echech b'fnei aimrei. He can't look right in the face. Ain't the maze ponet ne balchayve. He can't look in the eyes of someone that you owe money to and say, I don't owe you any money. You owe the guy money, you look him in the eyes and say, I don't owe you a penny, I never met you. And if the guy's telling you a maise, and the first half is true, and the second half is not true, you can see, you see there's a change in him, the way that he says the first half of the story and the second half. The first half of the story was true. So when he says the first half of the story, he says it with a geschmack. He says it's strong. He says, when he says the part that's not true, the stuff that's added on, you already see a change. It's not with the same kind of an emphasis or the same kind of a niggin. It's a different niggin. It's not the same niggin. It's a different niggin. It's a niggin of sheker. It's a niggin of sheker. It's not a negative shaker. now, how this works and why this is, and how we could be mechazik ourselves in this midah of tmimus and of yashus and pashtus, so that will continue Bez Hashem with next Erev Shabbos.